يلتهب كل جمعة قلبي وأقرأ لك يا المهد ندبة برضوى أم سواها أنت يا أغلى الأحبة أنت يا أغلى الأحبة وتدري بفراق الحبايب غربة يا مهدينا غربة تدري بفراق الحبايب غربة يا مهدينا غربة
صلي على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على أشرف الخلق وعز المرسلين، المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، سيد الخلائق أجمعين، أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، سفن النجاة وعين الحياة، من طهرهم الله بنص كتابه المبين وجعل اللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Last week we spoke about the movement of As-Sufyani and the situation in Bilad al-Sham before the reappearance of the Imam. Ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. We said that his first movement will be against the Abqa and Al-Ashab, and it will not be against the Shia, his first movement. He will be able to destroy both flags or both movements and control Bilad al-Sham, except some groups in Bilad al-Sham that will not enter under the authority of As-Sufyani. Then his second movement is when he entered to Iraq and called for the army of Sayyid al-Khurasani to come. When his army, when they will hear about the entering of the Khurasani army, they will run away from them. And that shows how scared they will be from the power of the Shia during the time of the reappearance. Alongside of his movement, there will be two other movements. One in Iran by a person called or given the title of Al-Khurasani, and the second movement, or the third movement after the Sufyani and Al-Khurasani, the third movement is the movement in Al-Yaman, with the leader of this movement will be called Al-Yamani, or his title will be Al-Yamani. So inshallah tonight we will speak about the situation in Al-Yaman and the movement of Al-Yamani, the situation in Iran and the movement of Al-Khurasani, and quickly we'll mention the situation in Bilad al-Hijaz and in Egypt. But before we start, please recite the Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Now, Iran and the movement of the Khurasani. It's interesting to know that the majority of the narrations that praise the Iranians are from Sunni sources. And we have few narrations in the school of thought of the Ahlul Bayt praising the Iranians. If we want to compare the narrations that are narrated through the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt, to compare them with those that are narrated through the Sunni school of thought, they will not be 20% of them or 10% of the narrations. In fact, if you want to join the narrations that praise the Iranians or the Persians, you can publish them in more than two volumes from the Sunni sources. And subhanAllah, now they come and accuse us to be what? To be Persians, to be Majus, and so on. And they praise them more than we do, right? And most of their leaders and most of their imams are originally from Iran. Right? Well, our imams are from Bani Hashim, the masters of Quraysh. Now, in our sources, we have about 9 titles that refer to the people of Iran. One of them is Qawm Salman, the people of Salman, Salman al-Farisi or Salman al-Muhammadi, Ridwanullahi alayhi. The second title that is given to them is Ahlul Mashriq, or Ahlul Khurasan, or Ashab al-Rayat al-Sud, the people of the black flag, the flags of Jaysh, the army of Al-Khurasan will be black. And also, they are giving the title of Al-Furs, the Persians, and in some narrations, they are given the title of Ahlul Qom, the people of Qom. So we have different titles that refer to one thing, the Iranians or the Persians. Now, the most important personality in Iran during the time of the reappearance will be Al-Khurasani. Who is the Khurasani? It is mentioned in the narrations from both school of thought, from the Shia school of thought and from the Sunni school of thought, that the Khurasani, he will be Sayyid Hashimi Husayni. He comes from the progeny of Imam Husayn alayhi salam. That's number one. Number two, he is from Khurasan. And Khurasan back then used to refer to the whole area of Iran. Same as in the narrations, for example, Al-Kufa referred to Iraq in general and not to the area that is known now as Al-Kufa. Also, Khurasan in the narrations, it referred to Iran now and some countries that are next to Iran.
Like Azerbaijan.
Back then it was called Khurasan. So Sayyid al-Khurasani, he will be from this area, from Iran, and not necessarily from what? From the area that is known today as Khurasan, from Iran in general. That's number two. Number three, he will be Sabihul Wajh, and he will have a beautiful face. When you look at him, you'll find that he is beautiful, and not ugly. You'll not, mathalan, feel that, you know, this person looks like a Dajjal. No, he looks beautiful and you are attracted to him, right? And most of the leaders that will be part of the army of the Imam, they must have a special charisma, if you want to call it, special charisma, that when people look at them, they will be attracted to them and they will not feel disgusted from them, right? So that's very important. Number four, they say في خده الأيمن خال الخراساني في خده الأيمن خال. He has on his right cheek a beauty spot. And number five, they say his right hand will be disabled. There will be a problem in his right hand. He will not be able to move it. Allah knows what and how. And then number six, he will be the supreme leader of Iran. He will be Waliyul Faqih of Iran. That's the sixth point about the Khurasani. So Al-Khurasani, he will be the supreme leader and he will have a leader for his army by the name of Shu'aib bin Saleh. Then Shu'aib bin Saleh, after the appearance of the reappearance of the Imam, he will become the leader of the army of the Imam, ajallahu ta'ala farajhu sharif. The leader of the Imam's army, Shu'aib bin Saleh. Shu'aib bin Salih, he must have a military background in order for him to be the leader of the Khurasani army. So when you think about Shu'aib bin Salih, when we think about Shu'aib bin Salih, we should not think about a politician or a president. Why? Because in Islam, we don't have a president or a prime minister and so on. These are Western terminologies. In Islam, we don't have this thing. We have al-wali, and that's it. Our way of ruling in Islam is through al-wilaya. So we don't have president and prime minister and so on. So when we think about Shu'aib bin Salih, don't concentrate on president. There's no importance for the president in the time of the reappearance and even in our time. There's no importance. Whoever the president is, it doesn't make any difference for us. He is working through politics, but when we look at the Islamic government, we link it to the Imam Ajalla Ta'ala Farajul Sharif. And when we link this government to the Imam, we don't find any place for the president. Whether they tried to link him to the mission of the Imam or not. But through the narration, we don't find any links between the president that will be in Iran and the reappearance of the Imam. There's a role for the supreme leader, and there's a role for the leader of the army, whoever he will be. And even in our days, the leader of the army is not the president, if we want. Anyway, we're not saying and come and compare the narration that we have on the situation today. But if they want to come and do so, if they want to come and imply the narration on some people in our days, we say that the Shu'aib bin Salih, he will not be the president. He will be the leader of the army. So go, apply it on the leader of the army, whoever he is in Iran now. Sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Shu'aib bin Salih, he will be originally an Arab from Bani Tamim. Originally, he's an Arab from Bani Tamim in the narrations. And perhaps he is from south of Iran, because there's a lot of tribes now in south of Iran, next to Mashhad, that return back to Bani Tamim. And originally, they are Arabs. They moved to Iran a long time ago, and they became part of the country. Right? Some of them, they still speak Arabic. Some villages next to Mashhad, they still speak Arabic. They are originally from Bani Tamim. So maybe Shu'aib bin Salih will be from this area, from south of Iran. Now the beginning of the Iranian movement will be on the hand of a man from Qom. The movement of the Iranians will not start from the Khurasani. It will start long time before the Khurasani appears, or after they know who the Khurasani is. The movement of the Iranians will start on the hand of a man who will appear from Qom. He will change the government of Iran and change the whole country. And he will start preparing for the reappearance of the Imam, of Imam al-Mahdi. So his movement is not limited to the time of the reappearance. It is possible that it already happened, or that it will happen in the future. In Bihar al-Anwar, part 60, page 216, we have a narration from Imam al-Qadim, alayhi salam. Imam al-Qadim, he said, رجل من قوم يدعو الناس إلى الحق. A man from Qom, he will call people to the truth. This man, he will call people to follow the correct ideologies. He will return people to Islam. This man will make them live Islam as an active movement that refused the oppressors and that refused to follow the rules of the Black House. That's between brackets, of course, not in the narration. رجل من قوم يدعو الناس إلى الحق يجتمع معه قوم قلوبهم كزبر الحديد لا تزلهم الرياح العواصف. A group of brave and strong men will join around him, will join around this man who will come from Qom. لا يملون من الحرب. They will not be tired from war. ولا يجبنون, and they will not be scared from entering into fightings or wars and so on. So that's the second movement. The first one was for the Sufyani in Bilad al-Sham, the second one for al-Khurasani in Iran, and now we have the third movement for al-Yamani in al-Yaman. So in this part, we'll speak about the situation in al-Yaman and the revolution of al-Yamani. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Now we have some authentic narrations about the revolution that will take place in al-Yaman. The leader of this revolution, his title is al-Yamani. And they said his name is Hassan. There's different narrations, Hassan or Hussein, but the strongest is that his first name is Hassan. He will be from the progeny of Zayd al-Shahid, Zayd ibn al-Imam Ali ibn al-Hussein, salamullahi alayhim. And some people, they added another name for him. They added, after Hassan, they added the word Nasr, or Nasrullah. So his full name became Hassan Nasrullah for the Yamani. However, I searched in all our books, and when I say I search in all our books, I mean it. And all the books that speak about Imam Mahdi, I searched in them, and I did not find one narration that says the name, or the second name of al-Yamani is Nasr or Nasrullah. There's no narration. I only found one narration in a Sunni book, and not in a Shia book. In a Sunni book called Kanz al-Ummal fi Sunan al-Aqwali wal-Af'al. This narration, it is narrated from who? From the Imams? No. It is narrated from Abu Hurairah. He says, claiming that the Prophet said, صاحب الأعماق الذي يهزم الله العدو على يده اسمه نصر. يعني his name is Nasr. ثم قال إنما سمي النصر. He was called Nasr لنصر الله إياه. So this is the word لنصر الله إياه. They brought this title نصر الله, and they added to Hassan, and they said al-Yamani is called Hassan نصر الله. He used this, the guy that we spoke about last week, Faris Faqih, who wrote the book Antal An, Fi Asr al-Dhuhur, he came and said, that al-Yamani, his first name is Hassan, his second name is Nasrullah, therefore he is a Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah. Yeah. And unfortunately, we have some turbans that followed him, that believed in what he said, and they started promoting his views, without understanding. Habib, where did you get this narration from? Allah, go and search in all our books and find me one narration about it. Allah, leave the other narration that he will appear from al-Yaman, that he will come from al-Yaman and so on. Khalas. But let's concentrate on the name. Where did you get the name from? See, the problem is our religion, we should not use the religion for the sake of the politics. We should use the politics for the sake of the religion, not because we support a certain group. We come and we try to get different narrations that are narrated from the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, from a person like Abu Huraira, or as they used to call him, Abu Hirra, right? That's another title, Abu Hirra, and get it and to support your political views. La habibi. We have to be careful about this. I had a discussion, I think last year or 2 years ago, with a group of brothers here in Sydney. I was telling them it is wrong to come and say that Al-Yamani is a Sayyid Hassan, Nasrullah. They said, but Fulan Sheikh, he mentioned that it is. And I told them, listen, when this book came down, Antal Anfi Asad Dhuhr, Sayyid Hassan, he banned the book from the libraries. And take this word, he said, this is a joke. They said, maybe he's being humble. That's why, subhanAllah, he's being humble. They want to defend their views, even if they know that they are wrong. So we should not turn our religion to a joke. However, all these claims are from some followers, some ignorant followers who don't have obedience and so on. But for our leaders, alhamdulillah, we find that they have wisdom. And they are all working to protect the religion of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
It is narrated in Bisharatul Islam, page 93. A narration from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He said, خُرُوجُ السُّفْيَانِ وَالْيَمَانِ وَالْخُرَسَانِ فِي سَنَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. The Sufyani, the Yamani, and the Khurasani, they will appear in the same year. في شهر واحد, in the same month. في يوم واحد, in the same day. They will come out, the three of them. Maybe they will be in their positions. Let's say Al-Khurasani will be in his position as the supreme leader in Iran. But he will not know himself, or maybe he knows himself. Allah knows, we can't tell now. He will make it publicly that he is the Khurasani on the same day when the Sufyani comes out. And the same with what? With the Yamani. فَيَكُونُ الْبَأْسُ مِنْ كُلِّ وَجْهِ. خُرُوجُ السُفْيَانِ وَالْيَمَانِ وَالْخُرَسَانِ فِي سَنَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ فِي شَهْرٍ وَاحِدٍ فِي يَوْمٍ وَاحِدٍ. نظام كنظام الخرز يتبع بعضه بعضا وليس في الرايات راية أهدى من راية اليماني. This is very important. وليس في الرايات راية أهدى من راية اليماني. And there will be no flag or no movement more guided than the flag or the movement of Al-Yamani. Although the Iranians were the one who started the preparation for the Imam, Ajallallah Ta'ala Farajul Sharif. And we said they already started this. Yani from the time of the Imam al-Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayh, they started the preparation, right? And they are still continuing in preparing for the Imam, Ajallallah Ta'ala Farajahu al-Sharif. But the flag of Al-Yamani will be more important and more guided than the flag of Al-Khurasani. And there's many reasons behind that. One of them is that the Yamani, or the Yemenis in general, the Yemenis are more simple people. They are Bedouis, from a Bedouin background. They're very simple people. So their government will be simple and very strict to the Islamic rulings. They will rule according to Islam in every single thing, the Yemenis. And they will not be forced to face the Dajjal or the West. The Yemenis, they will not be forced to face the Dajjal. While the Iranian government, because it was established, or it will be established, yani, so no one can use anything against me. So, because it was established, or it will be established, before the time of the reappearance, and the West is, or will be, concentrating on the government, and trying to attack this government, and trying to destroy this government, and trying to demolish this this way of ruling, the Wilayatul Faqih way of ruling in Iran, they will be forced to follow some Western ideologies. For example, calling the government, the Islamic Republic of Iran. This term republic, there's no place in Islam for it. But they will be forced, for example, to have a president, they were forced to follow the financial system that is around the world, because if they don't do so, the country will be demolished. So that's why what al-Yamani, his flag, will be closer to what? To the Islamic rulings from al-Khurasani and his movement. And al-Yamani, he will be closer to the Imam, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajul sharif, than the Khurasani. And his position is higher, and his knowledge is higher, and you'll find, Allah knows, some, yani, in some narrations it says that he will have some miracles, al-Yamani. So he is not a normal person. He's very close to the Imam. And this will be a test or a trial to the Iranians and to the people around the world, to see that those Yemenis, right, the simple people, the Badawis, right, they are the one who are closer to the Imam. They have to follow them, right? Some people are going to find it very hard. And we know we used to have an empire 2,000 years ago. We have a Persian history and so on. You want us to follow? Yes. This Yemeni, a trial from the Imam and from Allah Azza wa Jal. Here the narration continues. هي راية حق لأنه يدعو إلى صاحبكم. His flag, or the movement of al-Yamani, is a truthful movement. يعني most of the narration that speaks about the reappearance of the Imam, they praise the Yamani more than anyone else. More than they praise al-Khurasani, more than they praise Shah ibn Salah, and more than they praise anyone else. Al-Yamani is very special. Person. So his flag, or the movement of al-Yamani, is a truthful movement, as he called for your companion, or to follow your companion, meaning the Imam, Ajallah Ta'ala Faraj al-Sharif. فَإِذَا خَرَجَ الْيَمَانِ حُرِّمَ بَيْعُ السِّلَاحِ عَلَى النَّاسِ. When the Yamani appears, it will be forbidden on people to sell their weapons. Right? If the Muslims, they have, if the believers, they have their weapons. I don't know, our weapon here in the West is education, right? But in the Middle East, if they have weapons and so on, it becomes forbidden on them to sell this weapon. They should keep it in order to fight in it, right? And from here you see that they will use the weapon that we have today, or even some better weapons from what we have today. They will not return back to the sword and fight in the sword. The narration that speaks about the sword and so on, it's a metaphor. وَإِذَا خَرَجَ الْيَمَانِ. And when the Yamani appears, فَانْهَدْ إِلَيْهِ. Go and join him. The Imam is saying, he didn't say that about Al-Khurasani. He didn't say that about Shu'aib ibn Salih. He only said this about Al-Yamani. إذا خرج اليماني فانهد إليه. When he appears, go and join him, as his movement is a guided movement. ولا يحل لمسلم أن يلتوي عليه. And it is forbidden on any Muslim to stand against him. They didn't say this about other people. They said it about اليماني, that it's forbidden to stand against him. فمن فعل ذلك, whoever stands against the يماني, فهو من أهل النار. He is from the people of hellfire. سبحان الله. لأنه يدعو إلى الحق, as he is the one who calls for the truth, وإلى طريق مستقيم, and to the straight path. صلى الله على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Before the Yamani, there will be a movement in Al-Yaman. Before the Yamani, before he comes, before he appears, there will be a movement in Al-Yaman. The name that was given to this movement, or the person that will be leading this movement, his name, or he was given the title of Kasiru Aynihi bi San'a. This title, Kasiru Aynihi bi San'a. And after, he will not be successful in his revolution. After it, Al-Yamani will come and control. Ali Abdullah Saleh, the ex-president of Al-Yaman, in 2009 or 2008, he sent his ambassador in Iran to visit Sheikh Ali Qurani, Hafidahullah, asking him, who is Kasiru Aynihi bi San'a? He was scared, who is this man who will lead a revolution against me? And so he was scared about it, and he was asking. The Sheikh, he told him, Allah knows. When he comes, I'll tell you about him, inshallah. Right. That shows that the people, even though they don't look religious and they don't concentrate on Islam, but when it comes to the concept of Imam al-Mahdi and the idea of Imam al-Mahdi, you'll be surprised that a lot of people, even non-Muslims, they read the narrations that are mentioned about his reappearance. They say to stay on the safe side, we'll study the narrations and we'll be ready for them. Al-Yamani, he will be accepted by the people, and a lot of them will follow him directly after he appears. Not only in Al-Yaman, but even in Al-Khalij. Some people in Al-Khalij, in Al-Hijaz, they will follow the Yamani. And speaking about Al-Khalij, it is important to know that the kingdom of Bani Fulan, as they refer to it, the kingdom of Bani Fulan, or Allah knows, we'll say, the kingdom of Al-Saud. The kingdom of Al-Saud will be destroyed before the appearance of the Yamani. Or if we don't say it will be destroyed, we'll say that there will be no ruler when the Yamani appears in this kingdom. They will be fighting between each other. The last king will die and they will start fighting between each other, and they will not have any ruler. Then the Sufyani will come to the Medina in order to fight them, or to protect them and fight the Imam, and fight some of the Yamaniyin who will be in Al-Medina and in Al-Hijaz. And even after their kingdom will be destroyed before the appearance of who? Before the appearance of the Sufyani also. Because we said the Sufyani and the Yamani and Al-Khurasani, they will appear in one day. Right? So their kingdom will be destroyed before the appearance of the Sufyani, which means that Al-Ashab that we spoke about last week, Al-Asad, Al-Ashab, one of the names of Al-Asad, he will stay the leader of Bilad al-Sham. Huh? In Bilad al-Sham, la ashun shalai, he's a misguided person, like Al-Abqa. May Allah, Allahumma shagal al-Zalimeen abil-Zalimeen. So, Al-Ashab, Al-Asad, and this title, Al-Ashab al-Asad, he will be the leader of Bilad al-Sham after the ending of the Bani Fulan government in Al-Hijaz. We have a narration in Ghaibat al-Tusi, page 271, and in Bihar al-Anwar, part 52, page 210. عن أبي بصير قال سمعت أبا عبد الله الإمام الصادق عليه السلام يقول من يضمن لي موت عبد الله أضمن له القائم. Whoever ensure for me the death of Abdullah, the last king of Bani Fulan, I will ensure for him the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi. عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. ثم قال, then the Imam said, إذا مات عبد الله لم يجتمع الناس بعده على أحد. And after the death of Abdullah, people will not join or give a pledge to any leader. ولم يتناهى هذا الأمر دون صاحبكم إن شاء الله. And this matter, the leadership, will only be for your companion, for the Imam al-Mahdi. عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. If you remember last week, we said that the army of the Sufyani will leave from Iraq and he will be asked by his masters to go where? To Al-Madina. For two reasons. To search for the Imam and also to defend. Or perhaps he will go there to defend Al-Hijaz and Al-Madina from the Yamaniyin. The followers of Al-Yamani, they will enter from Al-Yaman after they establish their government, they will enter to Al-Hijaz. So he will be asked to go and save this place, Al-Madina and Al-Hijaz, from the Yamaniyin. That will be waiting for the Imam. Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu ash-sharif. Now the last country that we will speak about is Egypt, Masr. From the signs of the reappearance, it is mentioned that a person or a movement, and I said before, when we say a person, there must be a movement with him. He's not going to start a revolution by himself. So whether a person or a movement, doesn't make any difference. A person or a movement, he will appear in Egypt, calling for the path of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. That's before the reappearance of the Imam. Then a Western army will enter to the country. It is narrated in Bihar al-Anwar, part 52, page 208. وَيَخْرُجُ أَهْلُ الْغَرْبِ إِلَى مِصْرَ. And the Western people will enter Egypt. فَإِذَا دَخَلُ فَتِلْكَ إِمَارَةُ السُّفْيَانِ. And this will be, when they enter to Egypt, this will be the sign for the appearance of what? Of the Sufyani. ويخرج قبل ذلك من يدعو لآل محمد. And before this, a person will appear in Egypt, or in the narration, it didn't say a person. يخرج قبل ذلك من يدعو. A group of people, a movement will appear, calling for what? Calling for the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Calling for the path of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Through a aqaidi revolution, not only political. A revolution. So we'll have a movement in Egypt from the believers preparing for the reappearance of the Imam. Ajjalallah ta'ala farajul sharif. Also in Bisharatul Mustafa, page 42, it is narrated from Amirul Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayhi. He said, from the signs of the reappearance, Ghalabatul Qubti ala Atrafi Misra. The Coptics, they will control the borders of Egypt, or next to the borders of Egypt. And we witnessed last year, now don't connect what I'm going to say to the signs of the appearance. Maybe it is from the signs, maybe it's not. Right? We can't say it is or it is not. Allah knows. We witnessed last year how they divided the Sudan, right? And they gave the part which is on the border of Egypt, they gave it to who? To the Coptics, which is known today as the south of Sudan, Janubu Sudan, They gave it to the Coptics. In fact, some people in the West, some Coptics in the West, they were calling to announce a Coptic government in that place, on the borders of Egypt. And Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi, he says in the narration, غَلَبَتُ الْقُبْتَ عَلَىٰ أَطْرَافِ مِصْرَىٰ. And we can say that what happened last year, it's an introduction. It's an introduction which will continue to the time of the reappearance. So we're not saying that we are in the time of the reappearance, Allah A'la. Yani we ask, inshallah, yani we ask Allah that to be in the time of the reappearance, but we can't be sure. We can't say 100% we are. So if we are not in the time of the reappearance, what happened last year was an introduction for the control that will take place by the Coptics on the borders of Egypt, and it will continue to the time of the reappearance. In general, there will be some conflict inside Egypt between the Egyptians. They will fight and they will kill their king. They will kill their ruler, their king. This will happen before the appearance of the Sufyani also. Now, in some narrations, they say that the army of Al-Maghrib will enter to Egypt. They say that from the signs of the reappearance, that the army of Al-Maghrib, they will enter to Egypt. And they link this to what? To the movement of Al-Fatimiyin. Al-Fatimiyin are the children of who? Of Al-Mahdi al-Ifriqi, who we spoke about before. Al-Mahdi al-Ifriqi, who claimed, the misguided person who claimed to be Al-Mahdi, right? And he lived in Morocco. They built a place for him in Morocco, and he died. Then his sons came and took over Egypt and started their Fatimi, Abdullah al-Fatimiyya. This was a misguided government, and it was not a Shi'i government or Ithna Ashari government. So they say this army, the army of al-Maghrib, referred to who? To the army of al-Fatimiyya. However, when we return to the famous books that we have, such as Kitab al-Ghayba, al-Shaykh al-Tusi, al-Allah maqamah al-Sharif, page 378, which is the oldest and the most authentic book about this topic. The oldest book about this topic and the most authentic book. We find that the Shaykh al-Tusi, he didn't use the word al-Maghrib. He used the word al-Gharb. Al-Maghrib referring to what? To Morocco, to Africa, this place. Al-Gharb referring to what? To the West. Shaykh Tusi used the word Al-Gharb. And then we find that Al-Alama Al-Majlisi, Rahmatullahi alayhi in Al-Bihar, he also used the word Al-Gharb and not Al-Maghrib. So we say that a Western army will enter to Egypt, or they will appoint an agent for them in Egypt before they send the Sufyani to control the whole area of the reappearance. So this agent that will be sent by the Dajjal, by the West, or this agent that will be appointed by them, or even the army that will come to Egypt, they will come to prepare for the government of the Sufyani, who will come and control the whole area. Now, in some narrations, it is mentioned that the Sufyani, after he controlled Bilad al-Sham, he will enter to Egypt, and he will kill a lot of people in Egypt. He will kill the believers. But such narrations are not accepted, and most of them are weak. And the reason behind such narrations is only to scare the believers from the Sufyani, to make them scared from the movement of the Sufyani. But we saw last week what? That the Sufyani himself, he will be scared from the believers. Right? Not the believers. The believers, they are not going to be scared from the Sufyani. If you look today, it's very difficult for someone in Egypt to stand and say, I follow the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam. He will be killed. Or he will be arrested. But we are saying during the time of the reappearance, more than one movement will start in Egypt calling for the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. So they will have power, the believers, they will have power during the time of the reappearance. And plus we have some narrations that speaks about the movements in Egypt and praise some people in Egypt. And some narration that says that Egypt, it will be the member of the Ahlul Bayt, the pulpit of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, during the time of the reappearance. It's like, yeah, it referred to what? To the media. The central media or the place for the media of Imam al-Mahdi will be in Egypt. There's a narration in Bihar al-Anwar, part 53, page 60. A narration from Imam Ali, salamullahi alayhi. Riwayat Abay al-Asadi an Ali alayhi salam, qal, سمعت أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام وهو مشتكي أو متكي وأنا قائم قال عباية said I heard Imam Ali while he was sitting down saying لأبنين بمصر منبرا I will build a member, a pulpit for me in Egypt. So this refer perhaps to what? It's a metaphorical meaning, refer to what? To the media. That the place for the media, the TV channels, the internet, Allah knows what, it will be where? In Egypt. Because they will perhaps have more experience in the media, in TV channels and so on, in Egypt. وَلَأَنْقُضَنَّ دِمَشْقَ حَجَرًا حَجَرًا And I will destroy the power of the rulers in Dimashq, or I will destroy Dimashq altogether. وَلُؤُخْرِجَنَّ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ مِنْ كُلِّ قُورِ الْعَرَبِ Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying, and I will expel the Jews and the Christians from the Arab countries. Of course, here the Imam is not speaking about the peaceful citizens who used to live in Arabia, even during the time of the Imams. We had non-Muslims who were living under the Islamic government and even under the ruling of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi. And he didn't kick them out from the government. The Imam here, when he said, وَلَأُخْرِجَنَّ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى من كل كور العرب, he is speaking about the non-Muslims who came and invaded, or who came and who will come and invade the area after the Imam. He's speaking about those who will come and invade the area. The Imam is saying, I will kick them out, I will expel them from the area of Arabia. He didn't say, the Imam, salamullahi alayhi, he didn't say, I will help them out to come to the country, right? He didn't say, Wallah, I'm going to sit, I will go to their house, their black house in America and sit with their president and work with him. The Imam said, I will kick them out from Arabia. And then we'll have some people who are wearing black turbans, and they claim to be the progeny of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi. They go, they humiliate themselves, they humiliate Islam, they humiliate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and they go sit in front of the stupid bush or...
They kiss his hand.
Or they kiss his hand, Allah, kiss his cheek. Sheikh, Allahu alam, what they do between each other. Right? If they publicly sit with him, Allah knows. Away from cameras what they do. Now they are humiliating themselves, they are humiliating Islam. And if they claim to be Sa'da, then they are closer to Abi Lahab than being closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Yani, even if you're Sayyid, yani, we're not going to respect you if you disrespect yourself. If you are disrespecting your grandfather Rasulullah, we are not going to respect you. And unfortunately, yani, you find a lot of people who are accepting this idea. And they are teaching the community and the youth, and there's no problem, sit with them, we need to get benefits from them, and so on. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, he said, وَلَا أُخْرِجَنَّ الْيَهُودِ وَالنَّصَارَ مِنْ كُلِّ كُورِ الْعَرَبِ I will not sit down and stay silent when the, for example, the Western army is in my country. I'm not going to stay silent. وَلَا أَسْوَقَنَّ الْعَرَبَ بِعَصَايَ هَذَا. And I will control the Arab with my stick, referring to the power, yani the stick, the sword. I will stand, meaning that I will stand, I will hold my stick and defend my place and defend my people. I'm not going to sit at home. قَالَ قُلْتُ. This guy, Abaya, he said, قُلْتُ كَأَنَّكَ تُخْبِرُ أَنَّكَ تُحْيَى بَعْدَمَا تَمُوتُ. He said, it is like, Abaya, he went a bit yani crazy now. It is like you are saying that you will return back after your death. فقال الإمام هيهات يا عباية قد ذهبت في غير مذهب. He said, no, you understood what I said in a wrong way. The Imam is speaking to this poor guy. Huh? Maybe he doesn't know how to do غسل ترتيب, or he doesn't know the difference between غسل ترتيب and غسل ارتماسي. مثلا, he doesn't know الخلطات التسع, for example. Right? He's speaking to him about some of the unseen news that will happen. He came and said to the Imam, "What? It is like you're saying that you will return back after your death." The Imam said, "No, I'm not. I don't mean this. I mean a different thing." The Imam here did not deny what the concept of al-raja. So I don't get, مثلاً, an ignorant person who comes and uses this narration to reject the idea of al-raja. If he comes, we'll slap him on his face and we'll tell him go and study how to understand the narrations in the correct way. Right? The Imam is speaking to the person according to his understanding. نَحْنُ مَعَاشِرُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ أُمِرْنَا أَنْ نُكَلِّمَ النَّاسِ عَلَى قَدْرِ عُقُولِهِمْ. We were ordered to speak to the people according to their level of understanding. This man, if the Imam speaks to him about the Raja and how he's going to return, maybe he will go crazy. So the Imam, he didn't say. He said, no, I mean different thing. What is it? He said, يَفْعَلُهُ رَجُلٌ مِنِّي. A person, a man from my progeny, he will do it, he will do what I mentioned. Inshallah, next week we'll speak about the appearance of the Imam, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif, and how he will join with his followers. Allahumma kulli waliyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan, salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaih, fi hadhihi sa'ati wa fi kulli sa'a, waliyan wa hafidha, wa qa'itan wa nasira, wa dalilan wa ayna, hatta tuskinahu ardaka tawa'a, wa tumatti'ahu fiha tawila, birahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على